And what is the first response? They give a variety of responses, but their first response, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. They say, we were not of those who used to offer prayer. We were not of those who prayed. So then what is saqar that they enter into? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same surah, Surah Al-Muddathir, explains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَأُصْلِيهِ saqar, I will cast him into the hellfire, into saqar. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا saqar, and what will make you understand and comprehend what saqar is? لَا تُبْقِي وَلَا تَذَرْ. That saqar, it does not leave any sinner, nor does it leave anything unburnt. It doesn't leave anything. It eats the flesh, it eats the veins, it eats the nerves, it eats the skin, and it eats the internal organs, and it changes them into something else. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوَّاحَةٌ لِلْبَشَرِ. That it burns the skin, it blackens the skin. عَلَيْهَا تِسْعَةَ عَشَرَ. That there are 19 angels who are the guardians or the keepers of this hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from this hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time was giving a khutbah, he was giving a sermon, and he wanted to swear by Allah. He said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. By the one in whose hand is my soul. Three times, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. And he's about to tell them something. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then begins to cry and cry. And why is it that he's crying? He's about to tell them something about punishment or something about the ummah. So he starts to cry, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not able to complete. So the narrator says, so every one of us started to cry because of his crying. Then he raised his head, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we could see the happiness in his face, as if he got some good news. Then the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, there is not a servant who prays the five prayers and pays the zakah and fasts Ramadan and makes hajj and avoids the seven major sins, except it will be told to him on the day of resurrection, enter the paradise in peace. So the Prophet ﷺ was so happy because of this, and we see that you need to pray your prayers, pay your zakah, and fast Ramadan. And prayer is one of the things that gets you into paradise. How do you expect to enter paradise without prayer? The Prophet ﷺ says, do not purposely leave salah. Verily, whoever leaves a salah on purpose, بَرِئَتْ مِنْهُ ذِمَّتُهُ, that he has no protection, it will not be guarded. The Prophet ﷺ says, whoever combines two prayers without a valid excuse, he has approached a door from the doors of major sins. If you combine two prayers, that means you're praying. You're already praying, you're offering the sujood to Allah. But it's just not the right time. You're approaching a door from the doors of major sins. So what about those who don't even pray to begin with? Look at the different forms of punishment for those who don't pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Allah says, wail is for those people who neglect their prayers. So what is this wail? Some scholars explain wail that it's a valley in the hellfire that is full of scorpions and snakes, and they're prepared for those who delay their prayers. And other scholars say, it's a valley in the hellfire that is so fierce and hot that if you put all of the mountains on earth into that valley, they would melt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared this wail for those who delay their prayers. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that these are people who pray dhuhr just a few minutes before asr, and pray asr a few minutes before maghrib. We're not talking about people who don't pray to begin with. We're talking about people who pray, but they pray at the wrong times. About missing fajr prayer, the Prophet ﷺ said that that is a person, when he was asked about a person who misses fajr prayer, he said that is a person whom the shaitan has urinated into his ear. And we're not trying to give harsh examples or to disgust anyone. But is this something that you would like for yourself? And the scholars asked, which is worse, that of a human or that of the shaitan? So make the intention right now to never delay your prayers again. And to make the intention to start praying immediately. And to never give up prayer. No matter what sin you have made, rather you should use your salah as a first step to abandoning your sins. and not abandon your prayer because of the sins that you've made. And one of the things about ibadah, about worship, is that the better you do it, the easier it becomes. So if you want the salah to be easy upon you, then try to do it well. And whenever you try to get rid of the salah, it becomes so heavy for you. So now you have to get up and you have to make the salah. It becomes so heavy and you want to get it over with. But when you want to enjoy it and feel the presence of Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah is watching you, and enjoy the salah, it becomes a coolness and a comfort for you. And it becomes easier. And it's right the opposite of what people expect. Expect if you want the salah to be easy, to just make the movements quickly and you'll be over with it. No, it becomes heavier and harder like that. When you want to enjoy the salah, you start to feel the beauty of it and the sweetness of the salah, and it becomes easier for you to do it. And you can't say, I'm sure you won't say, that you don't want to get close to Allah Azza wa Jal. And there's no one who doesn't want to get close to Allah. So if you want to get close to Allah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us that the closest we get to Allah is in sujood, is in prostration. You put the best and most honored part of your body, your face, to the ground in humbleness and submissiveness to your Creator. Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash, one of the scholars, rahimahullah, says, if you saw Habib ibn Abu Thabit while in sujood, you would think that he died because of his long prostration. This is how people wanted to get close to Allah and how long they wanted to get close to Allah. So Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash saying that this man, Habib ibn Thabit, his sujood was so long, if you were watching him make sujood, you would think that maybe he died while in his sujood because he's so still and he stays there for so long. And if you don't pray, you become uncomfortable and you keep running away from Allah Azza wa Jal, and you try to fill your time with enjoyment just so that you don't feel this emptiness. And then when the fun ends, you look for more fun and you want to do other things because you don't want to be alone with Allah. So turn to Allah. Turn to Allah before you return to Him. Turn to Allah and sincerely ask Him to help you pray the 5 daily prayers. And when you make an effort to get close to Allah, Allah rushes to get close to you. And He loves this. He loves His servants who try to get close to Him. And do not abandon salah no matter what you do. And no matter what your sin is, do not abandon salah. It's better to be a Muslim who sins. If you pray and do a sin, you're a Muslim who sins. But if you don't pray and do that same sin, you're a non-Muslim who sins. And know that when you stand to pray to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah turns His face, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He turns His face to you, to face you. But then when you turn away from Allah, and by that we mean your heart turns away or your face turns away, then Allah turns away from you. So a lot of people, they say Allahu Akbar and they start to think about other things. And these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns away from them. So if you turn away after 2 seconds, Allah will turn away from you. If you turn away after 3 minutes, Allah will turn away from you after 3 minutes. So the question might be then, do you have to make up for all the years that you have missed of prayers in the past? And there are scholars that said yes, but inshallah the correct opinion is that no, you do not have to. You should just repent from that and do a lot of sunan and like extra prayers and remain steadfast upon praying. And the good news for you, dear listener, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَن تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Except for those who repented and believed and did good deeds, for those we will replace their sins with good deeds. So from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, if you repent and you do good deeds today, Allah will look at all of your bad deeds in the past and convert them to good deeds, will replace your sins with good deeds. And this is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And what better offer can you get than this? The generations before us were people who were constantly preparing for their departure. One of the early Muslims, when he was in his deathbed and he was dying, his daughter started to cry. So he asked her, why do you cry? And she says, I fear what you're about to face, the grave and the judgment. So he tells her, be quiet and stop crying, for I have completed reading the Quran in this corner. He points to a corner in the house, in the room. He says, I completed reading the Book of Allah from beginning to end in this corner more than 3,000 times. That's how the righteous used to prepare for the day when they meet their Lord. Thabit ibn Amr ibn Abdullah ibn Zubayr, he's one of the successors, one of the Tabi'een, and when he was in his deathbed, he heard the adhan for Maghrib prayer, and he's in his deathbed. So he tells his sons, his children, carry me to the masjid. And they tell him, oh father, you were sick, you don't have to go to the masjid. And he says, La ilaha illallah, I hear hayya ala salah, I hear come to prayer, come to success, and I should pray at home? So then they carried him to the masjid, and he prayed there, and when he got to the last sajda, the last prostration, he passes away. And the scholars say that he used to, after Fajr prayer, always say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-meetata al-hasana, that Allah, I ask you to die in this good state. And this meetata al-hasana, they said, it's to die while prostrating. And as you may know from the hadith, everyone is going to be resurrected on the state in which you died. So there will be people who will be resurrected prostrating to Allah. There will be people resurrected making tasbih, making remembrance of Allah. There will be people performing hajj who died while they were performing hajj. So they will be resurrected saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. And there are going to be other people who died while they were dancing, or died while they were playing, or died while they were drunk, or died while they were listening to music. So then, I wonder what kind of state you will be in when you are resurrected. And I ask Allah that is the best of states. And if there's ever a story that is heartbreaking about Salah, it's the story of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu when he was stabbed. Umar radiallahu anhu, the second Khalifa, the first Amir of the Mu'mineen, and he's an older man now, and towards the end of his reign, he's stabbed by a man named Abu Lu'lu'a al-Majusi, the Magian. He, Abu Lu'lu'a, devised a double-sided dagger, and he poisoned it. And he waited until after Fajr prayer. And Umar radiallahu anhu made the takbir and started to lead the people in salah. And he jumps at him, and he stabs him. So then Umar radiallahu anhu, now he's stabbed, he's killed. And the first thing he cares about, to find an imam to replace him. So he pulls from the front row Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He pulls him and he makes him complete the salah. And then some men carry him to his home, radiallahu anhu. And now this Khalifa, he's an older man now and he's weaker, this righteous man, radiallahu anhu. Now, he starts to pass out. He starts to fall into unconsciousness. And you may know now when they tell you when someone is wounded, keep talking to them so they don't slip into a coma and then it's harder to revive them again. So then Umar, radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa, they take him to his home. And he starts to pass into unconsciousness. So now, they want to wake him up. And they try to wake him up, and they try to call him and shake him, and nothing wakes him up. And then his son tells them, I know, if you want to wake him up, I know how to wake him up. And what could he possibly tell Umar radiallahu anhu? What could he possibly say to bring him into consciousness, or possibly bring him out of a coma? So they start to say, As-salah, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. As-salah, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Prayer, O Amir of the Believers. So then Umar, radiallahu anhu, wakes up. And he says, As-salah. La hadla fil Islam liman dayya as-salah. There is no share in Islam for whoever abandons the prayer. And he starts, he gets up and he prays the prayer while his wound was still bleeding. And he dies later on that day, radiallahu anhu. But it shows the importance of the salah, that radiallahu anhu, he would get up, he would wake up from being unconscious because he's reminded of salah. And lastly, one of the scholars told me that he knew a person who saw this vision, and in this vision he was receiving a fax, and he goes to the fax machine as the paper is being rolled out. And the fax, it's a blank piece of paper, and it says, Ya Abdullah, intabih. O servant of Allah, beware or pay attention. And then it has the numbers 2, 4, 4, 3, 4. So the person wakes up and he realizes that this fax in this vision was Allah Azza wa Jal sending him a message. O servant of Allah, pay attention, beware. 2, 4, 4, 3, 4, these were the number of the rak'at of the salah. 2 for Fajr and 4 for Dhuhr and 4 for Asr. 3 for Maghrib and 4 for Isha. So this person, turns back to Allah and he begins to pray again. And most people will not get a dream, and most will not get a fax, but I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that you got the message of what I was trying to say. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who are steadfast in their prayers, and to make you of those who pray, and to make the salah easy upon you. سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك جزاكم الله خيرا على حسن استماعكم وصلى اللهم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.